Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. O omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Amen. Good morning. God bless you. Blessing to be here again. We just thank the Lord for it. This morning as we were on the way to church, somebody got too close, hit my mirror, kept going. But it's just a little scratch, so don't worry about it. The Lord bless you. I think sometimes we worry too much about things that's useless. You know, I could chase him down and got his tag number, been late for church, and still probably never got paid for it. But God let us come on. When I go to work, sleep every night, I got to near where I sleep with a nightlight. Because when I sleep in the dark, I can't sleep too good. But I thought about it, I said, Jesus is the light of the world. And you say he's the darkness of the world. So if he just think about it, Jesus' light there with me. And don't worry about that darkness. Because he forgives us and leads us. So just think all things of him and not of the world. Amen. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 107, verse 1 through 20. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have gathered again in your house of worship. Father, praying that you would touch each and every heart. Father, bless them and uplift them. Lord, where they lacking knowledge, God, we ask that you would reveal it unto them. Father, for your word is always true and never false. Lord, let us forgive each other, give one another, give the people in the world, all people around us. Lord, for you loved us and you so gave the only begotten Son, that whosoever shall love him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, and that's what we want. We ask you for this service, all things this morning. Father, just bless everyone and grant unto us, Lord, that which you have need of. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 20. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
And great, and gather them out of the land from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Hunger and thirsty, their soul fainted in them.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses.
And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation.
Oh, let them praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
For he satisfied their longing soul, and filled the hunger soul with goodness.
Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron.
Because they rebel against the words of God, and condemn the counsel of the Most High.
Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses.
He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands asunder.
Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men.
For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron asunder.
fools because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities and afflictions.
Their soul adorns better than me, and they draw nearer to the gates of death.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent forth and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Amen. God bless you. May be seated.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. What a promise. You know, I believe that as the word goes forth,
amen,
it'll take you your healing, yes, if you truly believe it.
Right.
My aunt, she was in one of the services at many years ago at Brother Brown's, the tabernacle there, and she had a tumor on her ankle. And when they got back to the motel that night, she was taking off her stocking. She noticed it was gone. And when she noticed it was gone, she said the Lord brought her that direct scripture and said he sent his word and healed. And so as the word goes forth this morning,
amen,
you can receive your healing,
amen,
if you truly believe it and receive it. Amen. Brother John, would you come this morning and take up the offering for us?
Thank you once again, Lord, for bringing us to your house. Oh, Lord, and we just invite your presence, Lord,
yes,
Jesus, to bring our minds present with you, Lord, this morning, that you would speak to every heart, Lord God. Use our brother, Lord, just a vessel, Lord. Give him strength, energy, Lord, everything,
yes,
he needs to bring that message to him, Lord. May we come on that gift and receive what you have for us. Bless the tithes and the offerings, Lord, may be used for your honor and your glory. We commit the rest of the service into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Let's sing that song, Honey in the Rock. I don't know about you this morning, but I want that honey just to flow on me from the rock of Christ. Amen. That revelation. It should be so prominent that others can, as Brother Brown said, lick off of you and receive that sweetness of Christ in your life. And we can give one to another. Amen. Oh, my brother, do you know the Savior who is wondrous kind and true? Oh, he's the rock of your salvation. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. Yes, there's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover.
stand and sing that last verse as that brother comes this morning?
I surrender all. Do you surrender all today? You made an effort to come here today, so let's get something from God. I see somebody back here in the back. Two people back here in the back. Is that Ginger or Connie? Ginger. I thought so. Hey, Sister Ginger. And Sister Gail. Addison. One more time. That wasn't good enough. Give her another. Both of them. Good to see you both. Man. That'll make you happy. Thank you. Good to see you. It's been a long time. Been a while. But good to be in the house of the Lord. Boy, we had a good Bible study last night. Those of y'all that missed it, you missed a good one. And I want to give Brother Anderson a rose here while I'm getting through all this. That man's got, he just kind of took the bull by the horns, come in early yesterday. We got here about 5 o'clock and he was already here. Got the Zoom meeting set up so that up to about 12 of you can, if you don't come to the Bible study, you can watch it at your home. And there was 12 people last night watching in. So we appreciate Brother Anderson and what he does. And all of them in the back. We've got several out today, and the others just stepped right in. So we appreciate that. And we've got a church full of people that want to help, and I sure do appreciate that. But we had a good time in Bible study last night. Even though I did all the talking again, y'all going to have to figure out something where y'all do the talking because I get tired. That's a two-hour sermon. I was telling Jim coming home, I said, that's why I feel tired because it's 2 hours worth. We took a break, though, and Sister Tootie brings us brownies, and Brother Ryan brings us, Sister Gabby brings us cookies and this big old strawberry. See what y'all missing? We don't show that because we don't want everybody to know it. But there's some good food going on while we're having some good food in the gospel. But I thank all of you for coming and those of you that are online, and I hope we got some questions answered and we moved on with God. That's what we're here to do. We're here to move on forward, not go backwards. Amen. We had a good time last Sunday. Brother William Borlevon did a good job for us. We appreciate that. Also, remember this afternoon we'll be doing communion and foot washing after the second service. Also, Brother Luis will be speaking next this coming Wednesday on the 7th. And this coming Saturday on the 10th, we'll have our prayer meeting again at 7 o'clock. We'll just be playing music. No conversing, no fellowship, except for with one man, God. Come in here and pray any way you want to pray. It's a wonderful time to just talk to God and do it in a church environment. Amen. Everybody wants to talk to God, right? What was that Brother Brown was saying on the, he said, how many people in here would want to see Jesus? Well, you know, it'd be 100%. Everybody wants to see him. Now, some of you that are not born again, you don't want to see him. Boy, you get quiet when you say that. Also, remember, that will be on the 10th. Now, on the 11th, you have this little thing in your on your seat that we're going to have a household shower after the second service for Zach and Lily. That is what they want. They want gift cards from those places only. All right. Now, you can give them cash if you want to, but they would like to get their own gifts, so just get them a gift card. You can get them anywhere and everywhere, and that's a pretty good list that you can get them from. So that would be after second service next Sunday. And we'll have, like, cake and ice cream, I guess, and then have the little household get-together. And then on the November the 6th, and you have that also in front of you, I put them out there so you can't miss it. You got Lily and Zach are being married on November the 6th. We'll only have one service that day. There's the address. You need to RSVP. If you are going, you need to RSVP by on that link on your paper. All right? If you're not going, but if you're going, RSVP. And due to limited space, no children under 15 will be attending except for the family, obviously. But if you have people, children under 15, then you might want to get you a babysitter if you want to come to the wedding because of limited space. It's not a very big place. And it's in Cumming, Georgia. It'll be about 30, 45 minutes from here. So let's keep that in prayer. Also, the 17th will be our youth service, our last one for the year. Brother Ronnie Long will be here on Saturday at 3 o'clock. We'll have a 3 o'clock service on Saturday and a regular service on Sunday with no second service. All right? On Sunday, it'll just be one service, and then we'll have fellowship after that. So just if you have any youth, you need to call them up and tell them we're having a meeting, and then we won't have another one until probably March. We're going to have wait for a little while, not have it in January. We'll have it about March, and we may have Brother William come back and do it. I don't know. Or we may have somebody else, so we'll look at that. So let's turn in our Bibles to John 1, but I want to read you this quote. Oh, also, today, I don't know if today's Diane's birthday. No. But we're going to sing happy birthday to her because she's 70 years old today. Diane Roberts, which is Richard and Aaron's mommy, and Janine, and Nicole. And they're all up there now, and I'm sure they're watching in. So let's sing happy birthday to Diane. She's 70 years old today. All right, start. Brother Joe, somebody who's back. Brother John.
Birthday to you, oh happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh happy birthday to you, oh happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had.
Sing it to him like you mean it.
Oh happy birthday to you, Diane. Happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had.
70 years old. Amen. She raised some pretty good youngins. We got three of them down here, so we appreciate that. You can't have them no more. They got to stay down here. All right, let me read you this quote real quick, and then we will read the scripture and be seated. From Power Transformation, look at what Brother Brown says. Now, we've been taught, and we're going to get started on the virtues next week, but we've got to stay on this foundation. We've got to make sure we're born again. We've got to know. We're going to see this afternoon where Brother Branham not only says it one time, he says it four different times. These virtues are required. It's a requirement of God. It's not something we might need to do or something we need to bypass. It's something we got to go through. All right. So Brother Branham says, sometimes you have to separate from everything that's dear on earth to you. I'm going to read your scripture in a little while. Jesus said, forsake mother, father, sister, brother, and follow me. All right. To take your position that God has called you to. That's a word we're going to be using a lot. When we start in from faith to virtue, that is a position. And that is a position in Christ, not a position in school or a position in the church. All right, that's gifts of God, position of God, and we need to get in our position. Brother Brian said, well, what? Realize who we are, what we're doing here, and get in our right place. Then what? The rapture will take place. We're kind of a body that's a little bit out of joint, maybe, as a whole body. But everybody needs to get in there. We need a God chiropractor to get us back in, to get us back in line, you know. I'm sure you can read between the lines. what I'm saying. See, sometimes the very dearest person on earth, you have to shake hands with them. Now, what he's saying is shake hands with them and walk away from them. Just take your position in Christ to where God has called you.
Amen.
Well, I'm worried now if brother Donnie's in his position. No, you worry about yours.
Yeah.
Let Brother Donnie worry about his. All right? There's apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to help him.
Amen.
But let him, you know, let him get in his own position. Now look, but what is God doing? That's what we're going to talk about. We've been talking about renewing of your mind. Transforming you from what you was. Maybe a daughter or a son or whatever it is from a lovely family sometimes. He places you somewhere else. God is a separator. Amen? Because it's his way of doing it. See, by the renewing of your mind to obey the word of God regardless of what the price is. These things don't come. Now look, our redemption wasn't a cheap thing. It was the Son of God had to die for us. Things of value come of great price. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. We appreciate the time that we have here, Lord. Now I pray that you just sanctify us for this journey that we're on. Thank you for bringing us here, Lord. Thank you for a group of people that we can speak to. Lord, I pray that you'd move me out of the way, Lord, and you take over and you do the speaking, Father. You do the revealing. Lord, if there be anybody sick among us, Lord, I pray that you'd heal them, Lord, and the ones that are on be on the highways that we've already called their names, also Josh and Leah, different ones that are out today. We pray that you'd bring them back together. This being a Labor Day weekend, Lord, a long weekend, people are taking off. I pray that you'd just be with us now, though. Just take care of the ones that are here, Lord, that are faithful, come to church today, Lord, to hear from you, Father. So I pray that you'd do that. You would send us something to hear, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. So there's a position. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's read 1 Thessalonians, and then you can be seated. That every one of you should know. Now, I was reading last night about knowledge. Brother Brown spends a lot of time on knowledge in the Statue of Perfect Man book. He don't spend a lot of time on virtue, but boy, on knowledge, he spends several pages. Because we mix our knowledge with man's knowledge, our knowledge, with God's knowledge a lot of times. And that's where we get mixed up. It was saying last night in the Bible study, if you see a preacher get up and he preaches false doctrine, that is not God coming out of his mouth. Because God can't preach a false doctrine. Amen? That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You may be seated in the Lord as a blessing to the reading of the word. Romans 12 verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove. That's what God's going to do. He's going to absolutely, through me and you, he's going to prove to the devil that somebody that was born in sin, shaping in iniquity, espoused from a mother's womb, a liar, doomed and on our way to hell, he's going to use you to get us out of here.
Amen.
He's going to work through you to get us out of here. All of us, collectively, as a body. Nobody's going without the other one. We're not going to leave an arm here. We're not going to leave a finger here. But by the renewing of your mind, it's got to start in your what? Thinking. Amen? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I was reading last night where Brother Brown was talking about it. Somebody said, well, Brother Brown, we can't be perfect. He said, the Bible tells us to be perfect. And he said, if the Bible tells us to be perfect, he's got to make a way for us to be perfect. He can't just throw it out there like me and you may throw out a plan. And Brother Gary looks at it and goes, I can't build that. Why? Because we throw some drastic plan out there, but not with God. God's plan's perfect. It's already done. In his mind, it's already finished. So in 2 Peter 1, now this is going to be the first part. We've got to nail it down that we're either born again or not today. Today, sitting in here in front of me, looking at me. You're either born again or you're not. There's no in between. Now you may be working toward. But until you get, we were talking last night, the holy fire of God, which is going to, in the battle of Gog and Magog, is going to burn demons up, souls. He didn't burn your soul completely up. He burnt that old nature that was attached to you because you were born with a carnal mind. He burnt that off by holy fire. And your inside of you, your soul, is just as eternal as God is because it is God. All right? So now, but we got to get that settled down first. If we get that settled down first, then we can move forward.
Amen.
As we were saying, and we'll talk about it in just a few minutes, that's where some hate the cross, some come to the cross, and they get a really good experience. I'll read it here in just a little while. Brother Brown said, you get a good case of sanctification. Now, that won't get you in the bride in the end time. That just cleans you up, gets the unclean spirit out. But you've got to put God back inside there. What? You got to get a divine nature.
Yes.
Your old nature is horrible. Everybody in the building, would y'all do this? Your old nature is horrible. Even the one that you have to deal with now in the next realm, which is memory, reason, conscious, faith, and imagination. You got to deal with that. There's a lot of things going on there that you got to deal with. That's where this is going to work at.
Yes.
Amen. Your soul is as eternal as God is. And when Brother Branham, we'll read it here in just a minute. Brother Branham said, when you get born again, you get all you got, all you need for your journey.
Yes.
But now you got to remember, then that's a group of people that says, well, we don't need the statue of perfect man teaching because we already got it. Well, where's the youngest baby in the place? Probably Ellie. Well, let's take Ellie, beautiful little girl she is, and let's just go put her in a closet. She's a human. Right? She's a human. Let's go put her in a closet and don't feed her. She'll die. That's the way it is with God. You'll die if you don't get fed. But you have everything, you have every faculty in her to be a wife, to be a mother. It's right there sitting in her now, but she has not developed it yet. Same way with me and you, because you and I are newborn what? Babies. Newborn babes in Christ, down here at the bottom of the pyramid. Babies, crying, wanting daddy all the time. So watch what Simon Peter said. Look, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, went out and got it. Like precious faith with us. Now that's Peter talking. That's Peter. That's one of the apostles. That's one of the disciples of Jesus. That's one man that has these virtues because he's going to tell you to get them. He's going to tell you you need them. So if he tells you you need him, he's already got him. And God thought enough of him to put him in an eternal word of God. So there's the eternal word of God telling us that you have to obtain a like precious faith. That's why I've spent for 2 months on trying to make sure that we know either we're born again or we're not. I want to make sure we either know one of the two.
Amen.
All right? And it's not just a feeling. It's not just emotion. It's not just, well, Brother Brown was a prophet. Well, I come to church. I believe Brother Dale's my pastor, and we got all this down and everything. That's good. But are you born again? Because you know what? They came up to Paul, and Paul said, they started talking to him, you know, Cornelius, or wherever the house he was, and he was preaching. He was a good guy. And Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed all that? So I want to say to you today, have you received the Holy Ghost since you? Well, I've believed this for 50 years. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed in what you got? Amen. That you have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his what? Divine power. What did we say power was? Dunamis. Dynamite. Dynamo power, according as he has given, as his divine power hath what? Given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's why I've been telling you, folks, if you don't go to church, you ain't born again. I'm sorry. You can't go across the Word of God. I've been telling you all this, and I've heard other preachers online, and different. Everybody is trying to get people to just to do the number one simple things. Right. Brother Brown said, ABCs.
Right. Right.
Then we'll get the XYZs.
Right.
But we got to get the ABCs first.
Right.
It ought to be your desire. I read to you the other day, it must be your desire, your yearning to be at church.
Right.
And I'll promise you, about Saturday evening at about 10 or 11 o'clock, something's going to happen that didn't happen all week. And as I said before, your cat got diarrhea. Lost your dog. Can't find the keys to the car. I don't have any gas in my car, so we can't go to church today. Garbage. Garbage. It's just excuses. And you know what? You're going to have to answer to God, not me. So don't think it's me. You got to answer to God because he wrote it in his word.
He said, and much more as the day approaches. Much more.
Amen.
We need to try our best to do what we can do to live the Word of God. Ain't that what a Christian life is? No, bro, wait, it's just believing Brother Branham was a prophet. No, there's going to be, hell's going to be full of people that believe Brother Branham was a prophet. Well, I'll preach it anyway. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us what? Called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us what? Exceeding.
Amen.
Exceeding great and precious promises. That by these, what? These promises. And we're going to read this the way Brother Branham read it, either this afternoon or I may have it in my notes. We're going to let him read it and break it down because he says, by what? By these promises. So they're promises of God.
Amen.
All right, it's not a promise Peter made. It's a promise God made. If you'll live these virtues, guess what? Something's going to happen.
Amen.
That you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that's where we've been right there for several months. We've been on the foundation of faith. And like I said before, it looks like a cross almost. And that's where we were talking about the other day. About that. That's the beam that we have to carry. Because listen, it's not easy. It's easy being a Christian. Okay? It should be. But it's so contrary to the world, it makes you think that you're having, ladies, sisters, you're having to not cut your hair. No, if you'll get born again, you'll know inside of you that's what the Bible said.
Amen.
Not what William Branham said. It's been in the Bible way before William Branham got here.
That's right.
Going to church has been way before William Branham got here.
Amen.
So the first stage we know is the birth. We've been on that. I want to make sure that we understand that we're not just justified, that we're not just sanctified, that we're not stuck in a rut, that we've moved on with God, that we want to know more of God. Isn't that the Christian life? Is wanting to know more of God. I want more of you. We sing all these songs, more of you, and the different things. Do we? Well, I've got this. You'll have to talk to God about that. To Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Look, they're led by the Spirit of God. They're the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You're not bound. Now the world thinks you're bound. The world thinks we're bound to a cult or to a man or to a this or to a that. Or we got to do this. We got to do that. Like Brother Donnie says, he says, they call us the skirt church. They can't call us nothing else, so they call us the skirt church. Because every time they see you wearing a skirt, well, thank God. Amen. What a testimony. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what? They are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Because when we go up this statue of perfect man, it's not a fearful thing as far as being afraid. You shouldn't be afraid to want virtue. You shouldn't be afraid to want the knowledge of God. You shouldn't be afraid of that. Boy, bro, when we get up there, brotherly kindness, I don't know if I love my brothers, I love myself. Well, then you ain't going to make it. Because he made provision for you to make it.
Yes, sir.
I was reading the scripture. You know, we're talking about beams. We've been talking about beams, you know, the cross beam that goes on top of the cross. And I went to the scripture where Jesus said, how can you that's got that little bitty, you know, you're talking about the little mote, which is a little bitty small straw in your brother's eye, and you can't get the beam out of your own eye. All right? Remember, when you point fingers, how many you got pointing back at you? You got three of them pointing back at you. All right? We have to say things as ministers. I was thinking about this the other day. We have to say things as ministers because we're called of God to do that. But we do it like Brother Dale's always done it, with softness and wisdom. And we pray that we continue that we can do it, that we can absolutely cut your head off and you not even know it. For we have not... surgical. But you have received what? The spirit of adoption. So what is adoption? Adoption is placing. So it's going up the statue of perfect man. You're not adopted at your new birth. Yes, you are, but no, you're not. You're not at full adoption. You've been adopted into the family, but then you have a growth development, or you have to go through a process. This whole thing is a process. Amen?
For we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we what? Cry, because we're babies.
Yes.
Daddy, I need this. I've said many times before, remember when you first got born again. It was all just wonderful. I mean, you know, roses and you know, you had the Lawrence Welk with all the bubbles going up, you know, and all that stuff. And some people, the young people go, who's Lawrence Welk? But all of us older ones remember the bubbles coming up, you know, and it was just so nice. Yeah, that happens at one time, and then you ask God for something, and he gives it to you. Now, I'm going to read you a quote this afternoon where Brother Branham says, even if God don't give it to you, if you come up this statue of a perfect man to a certain place, having patience, he says, have patience with God. He said, knowing that if you don't get it, there's a reason you don't get it, and God has that reason, and it's your best. Remember, I said the best no's you ever get from God is the best yeses you'll ever get. If God says no, you don't need to go there, then don't go there.
Amen.
But you know what? You know what he's going to do? He's going to stand out of the way and let you go on if you want to do it. But you have received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Daddy, Daddy. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit, what? That we are the children of God. Children!
Yes.
And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we, what? Suffer with him?
Amen.
That we may also be, what? Glorified together. He got a glorified body. We were talking about that last night. He got a glorified body, so we're going to get a glorified body. Amen? So now we looked at baby form justification, as we saw on the map, and sanctification. That is in your soul. That's God working inside your soul. Everybody with me on that? Where do you sin? You sin in your soul. You don't sin with your flesh. Your flesh is just a what? It's just a vehicle to manifest what's inside of you. All right? So in your soul, we're looking at justification, where your sins, where you do, as we were talking about, you come to the cross. You say, God, forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. You died for what? You died for me so that we can get rid of those sins.
That's right.
But then we turn around, though, and go back the other way and start doing it again, because that's justification. We don't have the want to stay at the cross to completely die. Everybody all right with that? All right. Sanctification's the same way. We continue a little bit further. What's sanctification? We were talking about it last night. Brother Branham said God did the world the same way he does you. Under justification, he took Noah. Got Noah, God put him in an ark, and God destroyed the whole world and baptized this earth.
Yeah.
All right. Then he came the next 2,000 years. Jesus came himself to cleanse and claim it, sanctify it. When his blood dropped on the earth, he claimed the earth. Well, where were you at the time of the crucifixion? Your body was in the earth. All right? Your physical body. And then we come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is where we see that Gog and Magog is going to be a fire, like we were talking about last night. The battle of Armageddon is man's fire. The battle of Gog and Magog is God's fire. We want God's fire to burn us out. We don't want a man to stand up in the pulpit and tell us everything's okay.
That's right.
That's man's fire.
That's right.
You might miss something.
Right.
But with God's fire, he's not going to miss a thing.
Right.
He's going to boil you out, tear you up, separate you from the world, separate you from your parents. The great Prince of Peace stood one day and said, I didn't come to bring peace. That's the Bible. He said, I come to bring a sword to divide. Listen, God's not a mingler. Jesus Christ is not a, oh, well, we're all going to make it. The Baptists are good and the Methodists are good. And we just all going to lump them in one lump. Now, God didn't do that. He said, unless you what? Take up your cross. We're going to see it in just a minute. Your cross, not his. And follow me, you'll have no part with me unless you forsake father, mother, sister, brother. He told a guy one time, he said, a guy comes up and we think that was pretty good. Guy walks up and says, well, Jesus, I can't come to your, in other words, I can't come to your feast. I've had a death in the family. Oh, now if a preacher, Brother John, if a preacher, if y'all, like Brother Collins said, I got to go to the funeral today. I said, let the dead bury the dead. You need to be in church. Now, that's pretty awful, right? No, it's not. It's what he said. That's what Jesus said, not what I said. And it's not by interpretation. Read it in the Bible. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Come and follow me. We've become too wishy-washy. That surgical knife will cut you completely if you'll let it.
Yes,
The surgical knife of the Word of God, the sword, the Word of God will cut you and divide what you don't need and what you do need. And when we go up this statue of perfect man, it might be more like a chainsaw or a serrated edge knife. But you know what? It's going to help us.
Yes, sir.
I want us to be the most powerful church on the face of the earth. Not just building, not just Lula, Georgia. Yeah. But the bride is going to have to be the final voice of the final age. She's going to have to be the one that manifests God.
Yes.
That when we need something, we don't have to call three or four people. We ask God for it ourselves.
Amen.
And you know what? He'll back it up.
Yes, sir.
All we got to do is say, what? That ain't nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Everything you've listened to for 50 years, you got to believe it and live it and say that ain't nothing but the truth. And then watch God do what he said he would do. Amen. So now look, in sanctification, he said he'll give you a new spirit. Now that spirit isn't God's spirit, that's your spirit. What's he do? He cleans your spirit up. All right? Unclean spirit goes out of your soul. Can't be two, can't be God and the devil in your soul at the same time. But there is a time when there's nobody in there. Unclean spirit goes out, walks in dry places, seeketh rest, findeth none, comes back into his house, finds it swept and garnished. Alcohol's gone. Cigarettes gone. This gone. That's why I said you cannot. There is no way you can base your new birth on quitting these things of the world.
Amen.
You can quit drinking and not be. You may still be the most ranked sinner in the world. The drinking, smoking, cussing, running around, and all the things we did before BC, before Christ. That should go out of sanctification. That's the unclean spirit that goes out. But what's going to happen is if you don't get it filled up with God's spirit, Satan's going to move in with his religious buddies, and they're going to come in and put you in a church.
That's right.
Well, if you get to go, that's your spirit. God gives you a new spirit, then he says, I'll put my spirit. That's what I want. I want the spirit of God inside of me. I don't even want the Spirit of God anointing me. Not yet. I want him in me first, and then he can anoint me all he wants to.
Amen?
I want him inside, the Holy of Holies. But the thing God has to do is what? Give you a new spirit. Make your nature a little more gentle and settle down. Or he couldn't even live with you. Under the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying what? The truth.
Yes.
Through the Spirit under what? Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another.
Yes.
One another with a pure heart. Fervently. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now how are we going to do that? Paul tells us, he said in Hebrews 6, verse 1, he said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. What was the first doctrine of Jesus Christ? Brother Ram tells us. You must be born again. He looks at Nicodemus and said, you must be born again. That's his first major doctrine. Kingdom of heaven is at hand, which is the new birth. But he tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. All right? So therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation. Look, once we lay this foundation of this building, why would we want to lay another one on top of it? Why would we want to lay an extension of one? Oh, yeah, we like to extend our house and make it a little bit bigger, but we're talking about God's house. God's house is perfect when he begins, and it will stay perfect till the end. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Please, we don't need to waste our time. Keep asking God for forgiveness for the same thing. Listen, if you're still doing the same thing over and over, you need to get born again. Because under justification, that chops off your past sin. That puts it in the sea of God's forgiveness. You need to put a no fishing sign up. Do not let anybody go there, even yourself. Throw the fishing pole away. Because you know what? When God put it there, he can't remember it. That ought to make you happy. God can't even remember it. Who can lay anything a charge to God's elect? It's God that what? Justifies. About bit my tongue off. That'd be disastrous, wouldn't it? For some of you, it would be a blessing. Of the doctrine of baptism, a laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead, to be eternal judgment. What? Basic doctrine. And this, look, and this will we do if God permit. Then we talked about the tabernacle just for a minute. We know that there's three. I wish we could have brought in yesterday's, or the Bible study from yesterday. Because that's why the whole thing we talked about. That's why I love the Future Home. The Future Home book gives you the whole plan of redemption from your body all the way to the earth and the new city coming down from heaven. So that, to me, that's the greatest book. And he preaches three positions or three stages of grace: justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, just like the tabernacle. As we were talking about, you got your outer court, which is where the laver, the altar, it's all messy. You get sunshine, you get rain, and then all of a sudden you can walk inside that place right there in the middle, and then the world is now beginning to go away from you. All right, you've got now the stew bread, and you've got the altar of incense, which is inside that little place right there, but also inside there's what? The Holy of Holies. And that's what you've got to get to. Listen, it was death to go in there, but it's death to not go in there now. We must come boldly to the throne of grace. And then we were talking about the Ark of the Covenant, just to background for some that weren't here. What was inside that box? There's the box right there. That's a replica of the Ark of the Covenant. Now remember, the mercy seat is what's sitting on top of it where those two angels are.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Yeah.
All right, two cherubims. But inside that,
Yes.
is something.
Yes.
Three things. Kind of interesting. Three things. There's the two tables of stone, which is the Ten Commandments that Moses got from God.
Amen.
Then there's a little basket that's got the manna, which, in other words, that's what God produced also.
Yes.
And then also there's that bud. There's that branch, or that old dead stick. Now, it used to be dead. Now it's got green on it.
That's right.
All right, but when he put it in there, as we were talking the other day, why did it go in there? Well, you know why? Because this one wanted to be a minister, and this one wanted to be that, and this one wanted to be a deacon, and this one wasn't qualified, but he wanted to do it anyway. All right, so God just said, hey, give me 12 sticks, all dead. I'm going to give them to my prophet Moses. He's going to put them in that ark, right, lay them right down in front of the ark, and he said, whoever's one that buds and grows almonds overnight, he said, that's the one you need to listen to. All right? So the ark is what? The ark is a symbol of the Son of Man, but it's also a symbol of who? You. As we said before, look where Brother Brown talks about this in 1955. He said, now watch the Ark of the Covenant. Now remember, the Ark of the Covenant was not made out of pure gold. No. It was wood. Acacia wood. Overlaid with gold. All right, everybody with me? Because what? You know why? Because this right here. Anyone knows the scripture that gold speaks of deity. So the outside of that is deity, and wood speaks of humanity. That's why it had to be a rod that was put in the ark, which symbolizes your humanity. It also symbolizes that the great Ark of the Covenant, which hung on Calvary, he was a mortal man. Y'all don't get sleepy on me now. Luis, they did a little bit later than didn't you. Watch the Ark of the Covenant. He said, you make it out of acacia wood and overlay it with gold. Anyone who knows the scripture knows that gold speaks of deity and wood speaks of humanity. That's why it was hung on a cross. It was wood. And he said, you shall cover it, overlay it with gold over the wood. That's deity over the wood. Thank God.
Amen.
Because he stands between the judgment that's inside of that box, which was the Ten Commandments that what? That would kill you.
Yes.
But you had to go through the gold first to get to that. That's deity over the wood, Christ over the church, inside and out, deity overlaid. You'll have a lid on top of it. It'll be a mercy seat, and the law will rest in it. You sprinkle it over with blood. The law speaks of judgment, but between the law and the congregation, there was something for deity stood in its place atop of Christ. Between the wrath of God, the judgment in hell, between that and the believer stands deity himself, Christ, standing in the way with an atonement made to save us from our sins. It wasn't blood of bulls and goats, it was the blood of a human man.
Amen.
All right? But it was the life in the blood that could come back inside of me and you.
Yes, sir.
To save us from our sins, to heal us from our sicknesses. Deity stands in the way between judgment. And what is it? What is this talking about? It's talking about our daily walk.
Amen.
Your daily talk, your daily behavior, your heart, your soul. He's talking about the priest going behind saying, holy, holy. He had to walk a certain way because there was bells and pomegranates and they were ding, 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 ding. All right? As we begin to approach in behalf of our brother, in other words, we're approaching for somebody. Whosoever will may come, anointed, blood in front of him. And we know we talk about Moses just for a minute. We'll talk about just for a second where Moses, what? He laid the rods up before the Lord. And then the next day, Moses went back in the tabernacle. And guess what? That old dead stick. Everybody raise your hand. That may keep you from being asleep. And wake the person up that don't raise the hand. You're a stick. You're a stick. You ever heard the old saying, you're a stick in the mud? Well, then. But we're an old dead stick. We were cut off of a tree. We were supposed to come from the tree of life. But we got cut off. We got cut off like Jesus did from the land of the living according to Isaiah 53. He was cut off. But what did he promise? He promised us that he would plant us. He would plant us by the river of rivers of living water. That he would put us somewhere that our roots would what? Get inside. But now remember what happens to a tree. I watch my big pecan trees every once in a while outside and you see the wind blowing. And you can barely, I mean the leaves or wind is doing this, but that big old tree is just barely moving. You know why? You know what the prophet said why? Because what's happening is it's pulling them roots back and forth. And what it's doing is loosening the dirt up so the roots can go deeper. So your trials and tribulations and your wind of what? Your wind of the devil. All it's doing is, if you're a Christian, he's already planted you. If you're a Christian, he's just making you stronger.
Amen.
It can't make you weaker, folks. If you're a child of God, that's what I said. You say, well, I've got all these problems. Make sure you're born again. How many times am I going to have to say that? Make sure you're born again of the Spirit of God. Then if you have trials, you know how to handle it. And it came to pass that on tomorrow, Moses walked in and brought those rods out, and there was Aaron's, and it didn't just put leaves on it, but it took a process of several months to make an almond. It did it overnight. That's why God said, tell them to shut up. Aaron's going to be your spokesman. Aaron's going to be your preacher. Shut the rest of them up. This is the way I'm going to speak. I'm going to speak to this person right here. I'm going to speak through William Branham. That's my almond tree rod. I'm going to speak through him, and you're going to hear it. And what's going to come forth from that? He's going to plant us. He planted you in the message of the hour, didn't he? He planted you in this church. He planted you wherever you've been planted. Romans 6, verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted, now here, see, planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our what? Old man is crucified. Now listen, when they put you on a cross, we read that, we'll read it again. When they put you on a cross, it wasn't for you to come back out. It wasn't for a joy ride. It wasn't for a Christmas show.
Right.
It was to die.
That's right.
Amen. You died.
That's right.
And most of the time, they left you hanging there. And you can understand what happened 2 or 3 months later in a dry, arid condition, what happened to your body. But our old man, that's what's got to happen to the devil. That's what's got to happen to the demons that's bothering us. We got to nail them to that cross.
Amen.
That the body of sin might be destroyed.
Yes.
Those things ought to make you happy.
Right.
Destroyed. Yes. That henceforth we should not serve sin.
Yes,
I'm tired of serving sin. Aren't you tired of serving sin? Even the little sins that we have.
Yes,
as Christians, we sin every day. For he that is dead is freed from sin. For he that is dead, that dead old stick. But in God, you need to start budding almonds. Fruits of the Spirit. Right, watch, listen to this. But Aaron's rod in there, an old dead almond tree. But as it went under the Shekinah glory, everything it was restored again. In other words, that did grow on an almond tree somewhere, had life in it, had water in it, had sap in it, in other words, and had the ability to become, have the green leaves and have the almonds. But somebody, the devil, got involved and cut it down. But Everything it was restored again. That's the way a sinner is when he goes under the Shekinah glory of the Holy Spirit. The veil drops behind him. Everything that he ought to have been, a son of God, what? Blooms out in him again. Think about that. We've had hundreds of thousands we've got two big pecan trees out in the yard that produce, one in the front, one in the back, that produce a lot. There's no telling how many millions of pecans that thing produces every year. But it came from one plant.
Amen.
And every once in a while, Brother Luis, you look out in the yard and you go, that's not grass. An old squirrel has went out there and dug him a hole, stuck him a pecan nut down in the ground, and forgot it. Or either the dogs ran it off or killed it or something. And then what does it happen? It starts growing.
Yeah.
Well, every pecan that'll ever be on that tree is inside of that fruit. That's why Jesus said, unless a corn of wheat be put in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it's planted, it brings forth what? Much fruit.
Amen.
Much fruit.
Right.
So look, remember, overnight it budded, blossomed, and growed almonds on it. Fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience. That's what we need to get in that third step. Get over into the Shekinah glory where that little sacred light was hanging over the mercy seat. Why are my people so tossed about? They took Aaron's rod and laid Aaron's rod in the presence of this holy place. And when they did, in one night's time, it budded, blossomed, and yielded almonds. So don't tell me God can't do a work in your life overnight.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Don't tell me God can't do a work in your life overnight.
Yes, he can.
He can, and he will if you'll just ask him to.
Right.
In one night's time, think of it. In the presence of God, this old dead rod lying there in the presence of God, budded, blossomed, yielded almonds in one night. What was it then? What kind of rod was it? It was an almond tree rod. That's what he taken it from. The stick was off of an almond rod. And you are a stick of some kind. And you were taken off the branch of humanity, which was God created Son in the beginning. You may be fallen, dead, alienated from God, but by that in creation you were created to be a son of God.
Yes.
You may bounce around and be respected and honored, in other words, out in the world. But if you ever get into that glorious place and hide away with God, you'll yield what you're supposed to.
Amen.
I'm telling you, this is manifest in time. We sing that song, manifest in time, manifest in time. You're going to manifest what you got inside of you. Can't hide it no more. It will manifest itself. And it is. I mean, it's just continuing to manifest itself. And the only person that can do anything about it is you. Like I said before, you can't blame Brother Dale for not making it. You are the one that will not make it if you don't make it, all right? So let's just put that finger back on us. Now, every year the high priest entered into that place, the congregation followed him up. And when he went into this great place where the veil dropped behind him, the inner courts, the holiest of holies, no one dared to go in after him. He was alone with God. What a beautiful picture it is today of a consecrated life who once enters into with Christ, dead to the things of the world, hid away with God, and the veils dropped down around, all the world shut off. Look, then Christianity and religion becomes a pleasure.
Yes. Right.
Becomes a pleasure to every believer.
Yes.
If it's drudgery and not a pleasure to come to church, you need to get born. How many times do I need to say that?
Yeah.
You need to get born again.
Right.
Yeah, but I talk to God. I'm telling you what he said. That's why if you'll read that book that Brother Dale preached a long time ago about the hidden life in Christ. If you'll read that book, Why My People Are So Tossed About, he'll tell you why you're so tossed about. He'll tell you why we're so tossed about. Christianity and religion becomes a pleasure to every believer. You don't feel uncomfortable to go to church. If you feel uncomfortable today, get born again! I used to feel uncomfortable. Mama would call me. It's Mother's Day. I'm coming, Mom. I'll be there. You know it's Christmas? Yeah, Mom. I'll be there. You know it's Easter next Sunday? Yeah, Mom. I'll be there. Didn't want to be here no more nothing. Sorry.
Yeah.
Why? I wasn't born again. Now you can't get me out of this place.
Hallelujah.
If it wasn't for Brother Anderson, I'd be the first one here a lot of times. So was Brother Nell for years and 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 years. He was the first one here. Amen? Because Christianity and religion becomes a pleasure to every believer. Listen, I sat Thursday night and got three sermons, two for today and one for Bible study. all afternoon and all up into, what, 8 or 9 o'clock at night? Didn't bother me. It was a pleasure. Well, I got to hurry up and get this done. Ball game's coming on. Well, I did that on Thursday so I could watch the ball game yesterday. Today, people just have enough, look, have just enough, I'm telling the truth. People just have enough religion to make them miserable. Haven't you seen miserable people that you can just look at them, June shaking their head, we know a couple of those, that you just say, just get born again. Start going to church. Start reading your Bible. There was a girl in our office at the post office, and her husband been having some trouble, and I think I told you a little bit about it. But anyway, they've been having some trouble at home, and she's been talking to me. Well, I can't counsel people that ain't Christians. You can tell them some good things to do, but you can't say, read your Bible, talk to about the Lord, pray. You know, get back in church. So I asked her yesterday, I said, Kelly, shouldn't have called her name. I said, how are you and Garrett doing? I called his name anyway. How are you and Garrett doing? She said, we had a come to Jesus meeting. I thought, you don't know Jesus. I said, you just came to a human meeting. You didn't know Jesus. If you'd have come to a Jesus meeting, you'd go to church. But that's why you really, I mean, how can you counsel somebody that's not a Christian? If they want Christian counseling, I mean, what are you going to do? First thing I tell Donnie and Susan is read your Bible more, pray more. Come to church more. Pray to God more. Thank you, brother. He said it works. Every one of us has been through that. Oh, some of y'all don't clap because y'all just too young or too... Well, never mind. Look, today people have enough religion to make them miserable. Knowing that they ought to do this, they're trying to escape hell. Wow. That's why, folks, it's only human nature. Let's just talk for a minute. Is that okay? It's only human nature that when 9/11 happened, what happened? Churches filled up. They had a day of prayer. And you're not even supposed to be praying in school. They had a national day of prayer. Because 3,000 something people got killed. I understand that. And they're human. They had a family. But then now what's happened 20-something years later? Those same churches that were full are empty. Let me give you another example. This one's going to hit home, and I hope it does. A year ago when Brother Dale had a stroke standing in this pulpit, a lot of people filled the church pews up after that. They ain't here no more. What'd they get? An emotion. They got an emotion. They just got I need to do something. I hope you're quiet. I hope that hit home. Listen, why wait till a disaster happens to get in church? Why wait till a disaster happens to try to get right? It's much easier to be right now, and you say, well, praise God. Whatever happens, happens. Everything's all right. Everything works for the good of them that love the Lord. We appreciate that. But today, people have enough religion just to make them miserable. They're trying to escape hell. How about a prophet of God standing one day and he said, if I walk by the Lord and he sends me to hell, he said, I'll look at him and say, I love you anyway. Can you do that? Can you do that? I love you anyway. Now, we know for a fact, if he said that, Brother Darty, he's going to heaven. He ain't going to hell. Because he loved God so much. Didn't love God because you'll get under conviction and here we go again. I'm just going to hit home. All of our preachers start preaching that you need to come to church. Well, more people start coming to church. Now that they've come 8 or 10 or services, they just start dwindling off. Why are my people so tossed about? This is up and down. Stable. Well, if that's the way I felt about it, brother, I don't know what I would do. Oh, get in with Christ. Shut off from the things of the world. To commune with him is a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
It's beautiful. Amen. It's something that fills and satisfies your soul. Do you remember in the world
what satisfied your soul? Drinking alcohol, watching movies, going out, partying. Yeah. That's what was inside of us. But now that we have God inside of us, that same emotion, that same feeling you had for the world, my heavens, it ought to be a million times more for something eternal. It ought to be something that satisfies your soul. Now listen, it didn't say memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. Because I feel a little rough right now, okay? Everybody feels a little rough. I got a little smack, you know, on my head. And somebody's preaching done smacked my toes and done step on my toes. I don't see how in the world you can read that handwriting. She writes in letters about like that. She handed it to me last night. I read it, though, but it was hard. Write a little bigger. But get into Christ. It's beautiful. It's something that fills and satisfies your soul. Something that gives you peace that passes all understanding. All the crosses become wings. All the burdens are chariot wheels. Praise God. If you look at it that way, Brother John, we're having a pretty good day. All the burdens are chariot wheels. Oh, you can fly away. Now, he can let that spirit grow. Now, look. He can let that spirit grow and take all the roots of bitterness. Grow. That's what we're talking about, growing. Grow and take out all the root of bitterness and press God's way through him again. He can become back in the same condition. Wow. That he was when he was in the Garden of Eden. You remember what happened in the garden after Adam sinned? He didn't want to go to church no more. He didn't want to commune with God face to face anymore. Why? He was ashamed. He said, I fear. So they had to go back in the bushes and hide. Where whatever before time, millenniums before that, Brother John, God would come down to cool the day and said, hey, Adam, how you doing, son? You doing okay? Everything all right? We good? And Adam's going, we good. Me and Eve, we're one. We're loving it. We're enjoying all the fruits of the tree. Now, we're not eating on that one you said not to eat of. But his wife didn't get that revelation. So when she did, they did what they did. Remember, he sold us out. She didn't. Amen?
Yes.
He sold us out.
Right.
But he said he'd get you back in the same condition he was in the Garden of Eden. How are we going to get an Eden back here if we don't bring some of it with us already? Jesus said that in Mark 11:24. Statue of perfect man. Now we put the blood of Jesus Christ in, see, and that brings the faith of Jesus Christ, the virtue of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, not Wade Dale's knowledge, not Bob Black or whoever, the temperance of Jesus Christ, not mine, not yours, his, the patience of Jesus Christ, the godliness of Jesus Christ, the brotherly kindness of Jesus Christ. Listen, these are heirs and joint heirs. This is what he got.
Yes.
So now he's giving it to us.
Yes, sir.
We're heirs and joint heirs according to Romans 8. I read that to you. Yes. Heirs and joint heirs with who? Christ.
That's right.
That's the nature of Christ.
Yes.
There you are. There is the perfect man of God when he possesses these virtues. And now that's the chart we're looking at. We not even got to the Son of Man anymore. We're back down here in the Son of God where the disciples were. We're down here where the first three church ages had these virtues working in their life. They had everything common. But there was people crept in and started tearing the Word of God up. Started putting their own ideas. Jesus said, your own traditions, you've made the Word of God of no effect to the people. But now we're right down here, right where it says new birth, justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. Then that's before we got to Wednesday night. There's three types of crosses. There's an enemy of the cross. There's people that get to the cross. And then there's people that carry the cross. All right. Now, Jesus is the one that carried his cross one time.
Yes.
He didn't have to carry it again. He carried it one time. He died once for all.
That's right.
Amen. So then there's enemies of the cross that they just don't even like the cross at all. They don't care anything about religion or anything about worshiping God. They worship their own God. But
And we'll read that where the Bible tells us about enemies of the cross. And then, like I said Wednesday, there's people that get to the cross and they say, God, forgive me of my sins. I am so sorry for what I did. Look at the thief on the cross. Remember, listen, the thief on the cross never asked Jesus to forgive him of his sins. The thief on the cross never asked Jesus to forgive him of his sins. He said, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Will you just remember me? It humbled that man so much, and Jesus turned around and he said, this day. In other words, I'm going to die, and then you're going to die. Because he died first, and they broke his leg, and he died. He said, you'll be with me in paradise. In other words, he stepped over into paradise, and like I said before, he's one of the ones that stayed there just a very small amount of time. Because remember, paradise was emptied out when Jesus came back. But he made it. Remember me. Just remember me, Lord. But you and I have an opportunity to say, forgive me, Lord. And then he won't put you in paradise. He'll put you in the sixth dimension, and then we'll go to the future home. That makes bride.
Yes, sir.
Bride don't just get to the cross. They carry their own cross. The cross was made out of wood, overlaid with gold, deity. Jesus hung on a cross. There was wood behind him, deity, and then the people. He stood in the way. He stood the judgment. Well, if that don't make you happy, then y'all all need to get born again. Based on Roman literature as well as descriptions in the provinces, crucifixion was an established routine. They were special military teams led by a centurion, and in the provinces, the soldiers were selected from local auxiliaries, natives who had joined the Roman army. The victim was stripped and then lashed or scourged as part of the public humiliation. As I said before, not in this article but another article, if you'll remember what I was telling you, and it makes sense, If Brother Darty, you're sitting there and I'm picking on you. If Brother Darty was a murderer and he killed somebody like Barabbas, that's not going to incite a riot. He just killed another man. We'll just do away with him. But oh, when somebody stands up and said, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up. Then he gets a rally around him. He gets some people around him. Then you get the political guy that stands up and says, follow me. I'll make everything right. Yeah, right. That's who they killed. They wanted to publicly humiliate those people, yes, to keep other people from saying, oh, we'll follow him. No, they're going to throw him on a cross, and then we're going to forget him. So as part of the public humiliation, he or she was led through the streets and remained naked. Christian art portrays Jesus with a decent loincloth on the cross, but the nakedness was maintained as a part of his humiliation. There was a public plaque. Remember, there was a plaque put over him by Pilate. The shedding of blood and the concept of corpse contamination meant that the execution took place outside the city walls. The most popular spot was along one of the main roads leading into the city. They also served as propaganda purposes to demonstrate Roman law and order. Now look, the victim did not carry the whole cross. And that's true, because that cross weighed almost 400 pounds. Big beam. I mean, it had to hold the weight of a 200-pound man. But they carried the cross beam. The pole was already in the ground, but they carried the cross beam, which there's our first beam. So we were talking about Wednesday night. I hope you got that. There's your beam, faith. You got to have that. You got to carry it. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. What? Take up your cross every day. All right? By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we don't just come to the cross. We pick up our cross and we follow him. Now, we don't pick up his cross. We don't have to die. He died already. Now, we know what all this other was. That's why the Simon of Cyrene picked up the beam of Jesus and carried it. And then the victim was either tied or nailed to the cross. We know Jesus was nailed to the cross because he showed nail prints in his hands. So now Philippians 3 verse 18, we'll stop right here. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping. Look, weeping. Paul was serious that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Whoso end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Wow. Colossians 2 verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it, what? Nailing that gold to the cross. Nailing deity dedicated unto death, nailing him to the cross, showed that we were forgiven. Wow. 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. That's what the people have done. That's why Brother Branham, that's why Paul's talking here, and Brother Branham stands in this age, and he turns and he points and he says, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They put him back on the cross and put him to an open shame. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishly, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Matthew 10, verse 37, he that loveth father and mother more than me, everybody go, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. I was talking to somebody the other day. I told him, I said, and I preached it from the pulpit, and so did Brother Dale. Your kids are watching you. Your wayward family or your wife or somebody that's not a believer are watching you. And when you compromise, you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, oh, okay. They really just don't have what they think they have.
Yeah, that's
right. And believe you me, if your kids live out of town, they're going to get there on Saturday night or they're going to fly in on Sunday morning so you can go pick them up. Hello, somebody. Just don't get quiet on me. I tell them to take an Uber. I'm not going to get them on Sunday. I'm coming to church. Would you? No, I haven't seen my baby in so long. They're watching you to see what you'll do. How many times has Brother Dale told us that? 50 years, he said, your kids are watching you. And it happens all the time. Happens all the time. Well, my kids are coming in town this weekend. This weekend. Why can't they get here on Friday and leave on Sunday? Jim's dad used to do that so much. What'd we tell him? It's okay, Gene. You can come whenever you want to. But Sunday, you'll be there by yourself, or you can come go to church with us. And he comes to church most of the time, but he would sit at home sometime because I'm not compromising. Because, you know, in his mind, he's going, well, is he or is he not? Is he or is he not? He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy. I'm reading Bible. This is red letter. I didn't make this. It's red letter that comes out of the King James Version. Okay? It's not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I told my kids, Josh is not here. They're on vacation. Actually, they're over at June's dad's house. But I told my kids, I said, look, I love you. I'll take a bullet for you. I'll die for you. But I'm not compromising my religion. Not for you. Ain't going to happen. Because of this scripture right here. And what inside of me tells me this is my first obligation. All right? More than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross, and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 16 says, then Jesus said unto his disciples, hold up, this is Jesus talking, okay? Hold up, everybody. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose shall, for my sake, shall find it. Mark 8, verse 34. He called his people together with his disciples. He said unto them, whoso will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, this is one I like. Luke brings it in just really, really daily. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily.
Amen.
And follow me.
Yes, sir.
It's a daily walk.
Amen.
For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake,
amen,
the same shall save it.
Yes,
1 Corinthians 15, musicians, come on. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. There's something in our life, and listen, there's something in all of our lives that we can't get rid of. Am I in the wrong church? There's things that we have that just bothers us all the time. Work on them.
Amen.
Give them to God.
Amen.
Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We'll start. Let me read this right here. I'm going to read this, then I'll come back and read it this afternoon. Let's stand to our feet. Blasphemous names, Brother Branham says, look. So now you say, Brother Branham, should we speak with tongues? Absolutely. Now he's talking on the statue of perfect man because he preached blasphemous names a week later. But he basically preaches the whole sermon about the statue of perfect man and a little bit about blasphemous names. He's reiterating what he said. That's gifts of God. What? Speaking in tongues. We're not talking about speaking in tongues in this. There's not that on there. Right?
Amen.
That's gifts of God. But those gifts of God, what? The speaking in tongues, without these virtues in them, makes a stumble block to the unbeliever. Look, it's not accepted by God. Now, do we want anything that's not accepted by God? No, we do not. This has to be first. What? This. And when you have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly love, then the Holy Ghost comes down and what? Seals you as a unit.
Yes.
We'll get into that a little bit later. The same as he seals the church ages as a unit. The way he makes his bride is the way he makes his individual. Made out of the same material like Eve was made out of Adam, a rib from his side. Here's the thing that you have to have first. You can't impersonate them. You can't imitate them. You've got to be God sent and God born. Look, imitation only causes confusion. You know why? You act one way here and then you act another way somewhere else. That virtue doesn't follow you out that door. You pretend here and then you lose it out there. Wow. 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 Listen, I'm going to read this one more, then we'll sing a song. If what is purposed to the church, the life that was in Christ, isn't reflecting in you, don't you stand still if you haven't got patience, virtue, and all these things, temperance and these things, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and all these things that's what? Required of you. Required. And I'm going to read three more quotes this afternoon where Brother Brown says, this is God's requirement, is to have these virtues. To be, now it's not, look, you say, well, can I be a child of God and not have the virtues? Yes. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost puts you right here at faith. You may have parts of these, but you're not going to be what? God's not going to let a baby drive his car. You got to be a fully matured adult before you can drive a car. So God's not going to give you the Word of God. Because look, I will read this later on where Brother Brown says, power without character. Listen, you have that dunamis power when you're born again. But you can't let it all out because you don't know how to use it.
Amen.
But once you get these virtues, you'll know how to use it. In other words, zapping your boss out of existence, you pray for him.
That's right.
Or her.
Amen.
These things that's required of you. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
We find many people who can understand why I am so happy and free. Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Heavenly places, do you feel comfortable talking about God? Do you feel comfortable coming to church? Do you feel comfortable witnessing to people? If you don't feel comfortable, then you need to get the comforter inside of you. I see, but I'm filled with the Spirit. There isn't a doubt, and that's what's the matter with me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. Anybody have a need? Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me.
Can you say today that ain't nothing but the truth? I've tried to tell you the truth. This ain't nothing but the truth. It's what God's already said. It's not something he developed.
It's not something Brother Brown came and brought us a new Bible. No, he came to magnify the Bible that's already here. And to tell us why all these pieces have to fit together. Nobody down through the ages, Luther, Wesley, and even Pentecost, ever. I'm sure they preached on 2 Peter, but they didn't know how to get virtue. They just said Peter said to get it. But when Brother Branham comes and tells us, look, that virtue is not being a virgin. That virtue is having the power of God inside of you to be able to give it to somebody else. That's virtue. That's strength. Like I said before, if I'm sick, sure, I pray to God. But if I'm sick, I call Brother Dale. I don't call the neighbor. They're gay. Sorry. Would you? No, I call somebody who's been to the fountain. I call somebody I got confidence in that I know that I can draw strength from him. That's what each and every one of us. I draw strength from Brother Ryan standing up here preaching the Word of God and all the different ones, Sunday school teachers. You should draw strength off of that. Folks, if this is a drudgery, you need to get born again or quit. One of the two. If you hang around, you're going to drown like the millions and billions drown in the days of Noah. I'll promise you that pitch had a lot of fingernails on it as that water kept getting higher and higher. Because Brother Brown said, I read it last night, they hung around the door. Well, I wonder. And then guess what? One day, Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. Noah was probably on the inside saying, Lord, it's not raining. One more day. Give me just one more day. God said, I've given 120 years. As I told y'all the other day, Sister Gail may have heard me. She's always said God's arm is long. It is, but it's got an end to it. Amen? You might be filthy rich, but there's a bottom to that barrel. Amen? So God's arm's long, no doubt. It's got a lot of grace in it, but there is a time when he said, that's enough. I'm done with it. So God shut the door. Did it rain the first day? Nope. Did it rain the second day? Nope. Rain the third day? Nope. Fourth day? He said, Miss Noah come up and said, honey, are you it will rain. He said, how do you know? He said, because God said so. 7 days they stayed in that ark. But you know what? On that seventh day, Brother Brown said, out in the distance, there came a cloud. They'd never been there before. And that cloud started swirling. And he said, it started pouring down rain. And he said, them people knew on the outside of that boat what was fixing to happen. Because they'd been told 120 years that it was going to rain and flood the earth with water. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day you've given us. I pray that you just be with us now and we go get us a bite to eat and come back together to hear from you, Father. We pray that you just be with each one, Lord. Prick our hearts. As on the day of Pentecost, where Peter preached a wonderful little 15 or 20 minute sermon, and they were pricked in their hearts, and they said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And right there, 3,000 people received the Holy Ghost. Wow. They were added to the church. What a powerful word we have. If we'll just listen to it. Lord, thank you for all things that you've given us, Lord. We ask your blessings, Lord, continue on people that are traveling. Brother Bob now speaking to Brother Tom Crescens and Richard and Aaron and Janine up there with the mom. We pray that you give her strength and bless her, Lord. Just be with each one, Father. Forgive us of our sins and our mistakes, Lord, that we make against you, Lord, until we come back together at 2 o'clock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your voice. How I done to deserve the glory.